December 29. The language of the Spirit and the Bride. 3. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Revelation 22, verse 17. Read Revelation 22, verse 12 through 17. The prayer for the Great Coming is not only ecclesiastical, but also very human. It is again originally human, of ancient humanity. It is what from the beginning of the world could be called true humanity. In her we do not hear the crying complaints of the small assembly, but we see the broadest, purified prayer of creation, regained by recreation, come forth and upward in audible language. It is no weariness of the world that calls out like this, for the one person who prays, the Spirit, is, as God, never weary of God's work, never tired of days or of the world. And as far as the other is concerned, who also prays, the Church, she does not appear here as a sect, tired and worn out, weary as being schismatic, but as bride. And which bride is ever weary of days? She is as young one can be. Instead, with all that she has, she will accept the total number of her days and make them available to the great future of him to whom she belongs. And this prayer is not only positive and ecclesiastically creature-like, but also true and fully divine. For the bride does not pray by herself. The Spirit also prays for her, by her, above her, and within her. Come quickly. That Spirit also calls for the Great Coming as the connector of all and unifier of all, as the one who gives meaning and the one who expresses meaning in the Holy Trinity. For by that Great Coming of Christ, he himself will be released from the temporarily necessary task accepted by him of bringing in the chosen ones. By that Great Coming, he also received the possibility to bring all that was out of the Father of recreation back to that Father, and delight in the full unity of the by recreation purified and enriched creation, as also in the unification of the bride with God, and thus with himself. Is it now an unnecessary speculation about abstract things, if we by the end of the year speak to each other about such things? Perhaps someone is thinking, please quit talking about these things. Let us rather speak about the fresh graves in which we buried the remains of a body this past year. Or talk about our circumstances, our unemployments, the crisis we are in, and everything else that is published in the newspapers. But in all seriousness, I ask, is that what you need? For it is not what stirs our sensitivity in you or I that should move us, but what moves God, the Lord, that is meaningful for our attention and its purification. Thou dost hear the prayer. When someone says it like that, we all find it edifying. That is partly caused by the fact that we silently have changed the hearing into answering. But of course, we are not allowed to do that. For that is being just as offensive and childishly corrupt as our little ones at home, who find it more important to get a little present than that father or mother really and substantially listen to them, to what a deep humanity is revealed in their calling out. Thus we should now again find it edifying that God hears prayer. The answering of it comes in the second place. The little ones look for an answer, the result, and have no eye for the hearing. But the man in Christ, in amazement, pays attention to the miracle that God hears. And I think that New Year's Eve is indeed an evening to ask if we already have become a man in Christ. So we know that God hears prayer. Good. And if we now find this edifying, then we should also begin to find it edifying that is constructive, that God hears the prayer of New Year's Eve, then we should also consider that foundational prayer of New Year's Eve of the bride, of which I in faith know something by revelation, without perceiving it, in such a way as God hears it. Then I know in advance, by faith, my edification should be founded on this, my edification on New Year's Eve. Nothing else does edify. Sing Psalm 90, stanza 3.